We're gonna start with an article that Pat put me up on about something that's going on in the Southern Baptist Church. Southern Baptist leaders release a previously secret list of accused sexual abusers. Pat, why did you send me this article?
Well, that was a review. The Southern Baptist Convention did a investigation into their inner workings and sexual abuse and claims within the Southern Baptist Church. And what they found was that it is the rumors, the stereotypes, and the gossips about how bad it is in church in terms of sexual abuse. It seems like it's actually much worse. Like the rumors apparently don't go far enough. And so what is interesting about this to me is that, you know, we often talk about, you know, the Pastor Simmons of the world who are documented.
I saw him last week.
Yeah, documented, known, and caught multiple times cheating on their spouses and sleeping with members of the congregation, married members of the congregation at that. And, you know, it's documented and known that Black pastors in general have a reputation for sleeping with members of the congregation, whether they're married or the member is married or not. And it's also documented and known that they oftentimes face little to no consequences for it because the church defends them. Everybody rallies around them. We all human, blah, 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 blah. So what's interesting here is that also that, if you recall, when the Catholic Church had their scandals, everybody was quick to point the finger at them and all the excuses they were making for why it was happening, this, that, and the third. And now you find out that there are indeed similar situations and other situations going on in the Southern Baptist Church, and they're now employing the exact same excuses. And what, you know, I know we're talking about, we at first I was talking about sex amongst two consenting adults, it just being an adulterous situation. But there were situations where children, little boys and little girls, were abused by people in positions of power and authority in the Southern Baptist Church. So there's some house cleaning going on, but it's largely being kept in the dark or quiet compared to the scope of what it is. I don't see or hear a lot of people talking about it.
Well, so let me read some of this article before we start dissecting this thing. So in response, and this is from NPR.org. So in response to an explosive investigation, top Southern Baptists have released a previously secret list of hundreds of pastors and other church-affiliated personnel accused of sexual abuse. The 205-page database was made public late Thursday. It includes more than 700 entries from cases that largely span from 2000 to 2019. Its existence became widely known Sunday when the independent firm Guidepost Solutions included it in its bombshell report detailing how the Southern Baptist Convention's executive committee mishandled allegations of sex abuse, stonewalled numerous survivors, and prioritized protecting the SBC, and that's the Southern Baptist Church, from liability. Executive committee leaders Ronald Slade and Willie McLaurin in a joint statement called publishing the list an initial but important step towards addressing the scourge of sexual abuse and implementing reform in the convention. Each entry in this list reminds us of the devastation and destruction brought about by sexual abuse, they said. Our prayer is that the survivors of these heinous acts find hope and healing, and that the churches will utilize this list proactively to protect and care for the most vulnerable amongst us. The Guidepost reports released after a 7-month investigation contained several explosive revelations. Among them, D. August Boto, the committee's former vice president and general counsel and former SBC spokesperson, Roger Oldham, kept their own private list of abusive ministers, both retired in 2019. The existence of the list was not widely known within the committee and its staff. Despite collecting these reports for more than 10 years, there is no indication that Oldham and Bodo or anyone else took any action to ensure that the accused ministers were no longer in positions of power at SBC churches, the report said. The executive committee did not make additions to the published list, but their attorneys did redact several entries as well as names and identify information of survivors and others unrelated to the accused. So, yeah, we can start right there. It ain't too much more, but okay. So, Odo, what is his name? Odo and the other one. Oh, y'all some hoes. Yeah, let me find your whole name. D. August Bodo and Roger Oldham. Y'all some bitches. So what's the purpose of keeping the list if you ain't gonna do nothing?
You just gonna retire. Blackmail purposes to me.
You just gonna retire with a list of people who've been sexually abused? Just going, like I'm gonna collect these names, and then when I get 65, I'm gonna retire. The fuck is the use of that?
Yeah, it sounds like black power and blackmail and leverage to me.
Yeah, you really help the people who've been abused. If blackmail was the motive, yeah, but your selfish blackmail is motive. Use a bitch.
Oh yeah, it's definitely selfish. That is definitely is it. The only thing I could think of is it was on some. If I don't get what I want, I'm gonna publish this shit and bring the convention down. And for everybody that's on this list, you know, you gotta move how I say move. Like, that's the only way it makes sense.
So if the investigation wouldn't have happened, we wouldn't have been here.
Right. But the interesting thing is also other parts of the investigation talked about some of the defenses used to protect the church and to further harm those making claims. Was that it was plans by the devil to bring the church down and all of these other things. And these are, like I said, the reason it struck me is because, again, I bring up the great Pastor Simmons. When he got caught in his most recent occurrence of cheating on his wife with another married member in his congregation, those were the same things people were saying to people that wanted to get him ousted from the church, right?
Right.
You know, it's all a plan from the devil. You know, all slip and fall short. Everybody stumbles. Everybody's human. Everybody makes mistakes. And then you just get to the point where even in the Bible, it says you should hold pastors and prophets to a higher standard. Like, but at some point, like, you still hold people accountable. You don't hold it over their head forever. But you don't give them a pass, and slipping and falling into somebody else's pussy is a hell of a mistake to make.
Right now, this, I'm looking at this list. So it's literally 205 pages, but so this is a list of the offenders. Yeah. So like Samuel Yoon, the youth pastor, New Community Mission Church in San Laredo, California, was arrested at a Orlando youth conference for soliciting prostitution with an underage teenage girl. Yoon was expected to meet the 14-year-old girl. He pleaded guilty to solicitation of prostitution in 2014, ordered to complete 5 years of probation. Got a youth pastor, another youth pastor who pleaded guilty to a single third degree. One of them I was just looking at. Franklin Leroy Ray. This for him, 2010. He's a former minister of music, Pleasant Grove Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. He served a number of Texas churches, including in Texarkana, Hooks, Sims, and Atlanta, Texas. Pleaded guilty and convicted of 19 counts of indecency with a child. Sentenced in 2010 to 15 years as a part of a plea deal. His sentences for 19 felony charges ran concurrently. He was incarcerated in Texas. So they let this dude become a minister and around kids with this history of serving 15 years and a lot of youth pastors, youth ministers and stuff.
Yes,
former youth leader.
Yep. And keep in mind, a lot of the names redacted are people that have not been convicted yet.
Right.
So they, you know, they got a innocent until proven guilty. I can respect that. But the fact that they're even on the list means that you suspect something.
They got Richard Rick Willits, former youth minister, Great Hills Baptist Church, registered as a sex offender in Texas in 1999 for convictions of sexual assault of a child and indecency with a child. Victims identified as a 14-year-old boy, sentenced to 15 years, released in 2014. And y'all let this motherfucker around y'all children.
But you know what else it reminded me of? Is the situation here. I was telling you about a couple weeks ago, we found out one of the coaches of a track team here is a convicted sex offender. Tried to, did expose himself and tried to engage in sexual activities with an underage girl. And the people on the team know that, and they still allow him to coach little young people.
So I'm at work the other day, and so there's no, like, our supervisor is openly gay. Ain't no secret about that. You know, I've told stories about how dudes be hollering at him all the time on this podcast. So just come Friday, it's a buddy trying to, I'm talking about buddy straightforward, buddy trying to jump all, buddy trying to get balls deep in him, right? Like, dead serious. So he just like, yeah, man, you know, I'm horny, I'm real horny, I want to fuck, I'm gonna do all these things. So it's on, he's Facebook messaging the buddy. So we look buddy up. Buddy is a he looked like he's a parent, like might be married, but look like he's a parent, down low guy, and the coach of a youth baseball team. And he's a down low guy. If you are openly gay, I don't have no problem with you being a mentor, youth leader, nothing like that. But the down low Dannys, we can't trust them.
Yeah, I'm with that. Yo,
can't nobody trust you.
I'm with
that.
So
we can't have you around our kids because you got conflicting morals. Being openly gay, no issues. But down low Danny, nope.
I'm with that. Because if you're not comfortable being you, if you're willing to hide that part of your, like, in your sexual preference is a pretty significant part of who you are. I know a lot of people like to say it's not. It is. And that's cool. You got to wear that, though. Like, if you're willing to hide that much of yourself, what else are you willing to hide? And then not to mention what you just said about the internal conflict. Nah, yeah, I'm with that. If you ain't going to be who you are, we don't need you around kids.
But this is another example of within our community failed leadership, adults failing the children, and then another generation of traumatized, abused children because these goddamn immature ass adults can't control their fucking selves. So I got to take advantage of a child, power and control.
This shit is a failure all the way around, man. It's failed leadership and failed followership. Ain't nobody in the cycle of power or group dynamics doing what they need to do. And it's crazy.
Dog, these motherfuckers compiled a list that was of so many people that was of sexually abusing children. This list is 205 pages. Think about that. We didn't say 205 people. We said 205 pages. Imagine how many people can fit on one page.
And then imagine all of the people that ain't on the list. Because, you know, for every one or two that you catch, it's four or five, maybe even nine or ten that's going uncaught.
And this is all throughout the United States. Texas, Utah, mm-hmm. New Hampshire, New Mexico, North Carolina, Florida, Georgia, Minnesota, Los Angeles, Arizona, Iowa, Pennsylvania, California, Arkansas, Illinois.
It's a church problem.
Virginia, New York.
It's a religious problem, really.
Missouri, Mississippi.
Yeah, it's. And then, you know, the other thing is, I know there is a difference between a Southern Baptist and a Baptist. But the point still remains that a fairly large portion of Black America are Baptists. And a portion of that are Southern Baptists. Like, so I think, you know, I sent you the numbers earlier. 45% of Black people are Baptists.
Yeah. So but being Southern Baptist is still, correct me if I'm wrong, is that still under the Baptist umbrella, though?
It is, according to some people. It depends on who you ask. And I'm not entirely sure what's correct and what's not myself.
So, like, what's the difference? You get baptized in sweet tea versus just iced tea? Like,
that's why. So, to me, a Southern Baptist is kind of a part of the Baptist thing. But I have heard other people make the case that they're two separate things. Now, it doesn't make sense to me, but I'm saying I haven't researched it thoroughly, so I don't know. It could be that, or it could be like it could just not make sense because it's not accurate.
But this also goes to back to something we talked about a lot, especially when we're talking to have a conversation surrounding the talking points and conversation that come from people talking about relationships, Kevin Sammons and all these things here. But talking about the improvement of men being better, men doing better. These are little ass boys, old ass boys with no dick control, with no self-control, who are looking for power and control, and they're looking to overpower and control somebody because they feel inadequate or something messed up with them, or they may have been abused and all these things here. But we got to find a better way to vet the people that we put around children. Got to find a better way to vet people.
I don't even know that we need a better way. We just need to vet them. That the problem is we not even vetting them. Like,
okay, so my fault. I was assuming people were being vetted.
No, people like I can tell. Look, man, when I signed on to coach that youth track team here, I didn't do no background check. I don't even think they Googled my name. The dude I told a parent that of a child that I had been working with that I'd be interested in coaching. As long as it didn't get in the way of some of the other stuff I got going on. The head coach for the team called me. We had a 15-minute conversation, and he told me to show up to practice. For all he knew, I could have been the next R. Kelly.
Yeah. I mean, you're gonna be around children. You need to be vetted, and you need to be fully vetted. Like, a full background check need to happen. Like, all of that. For my job, like when I was working at the health department, for you to volunteer with us as adults at the health department, we had to do a background check on you. But think about that. You like, and I'm talking about at a time when in the office, like we got three men in the office who could beat your ass. And then we got probably some male interns and some of these females who could beat your ass too. So if you tried anything, we all jump on you and beat your ass. But you still need to. So none of us are physically threatened by you, but you still have to have a background check to be around us. Because character matters. People, character matters.
I'm thinking about the work I do with Miss Kristen. Every 2 years, I got to get a background check.
You should. You around kids.
Right. And you know that, right. I'm not mad about it. But you know, every 2 years we gotta send off the paperwork to the police department to get a background check done.
But this also is a bigger issue, like we say in our community, in the Black community, because we're still sweeping stuff under the rug. Don't let social media fool you. Remember, like, social media doesn't represent the totality of the population just here in the United States or the world. And one person's message doesn't represent everybody who moved that way or whatever. Like, messages can be shared, but I don't necessarily have to rot with it. This could be in my character. That's why I'm sharing this. But it's just like, don't let social media get you messed up to think there's so many people on the same page and we got so much progress and all these things here. Because when we go back and look at numbers, which we know a lot of you hate numbers and statistics and facts, the numbers, the statistics and the facts show us that not much progress has been made.